dropped off January the 1st, our first service of the year. And so take your Bible and go with us to the book of Psalm 119. Psalms 119, verse number 30. Get there. Got a message I was thinking about preaching tonight on. Been working on for a good bit of time on unity and on how we ought to be together as a body of believers, but I believe I'm going to wait and preach that when we have our whole church in here. And but we began the first Sunday of the year, first day of this year, in the book of Psalms, in this 119th Psalm, longest Psalm in our Bible, and basically took a statement that David made, and I thought it would be good to look at that again and can try to finish this message. We just got through the first part of it. But let's read it together. Psalm 119, verse 30. The Bible says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. And here's the phrase, and I shall keep it unto the end. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. It goes on, verse 34, says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. So at least three or four times in those last three or four verses we read, the theme and the repetition of what the psalmist is saying is, I don't want this to just be something I start and stop at. I want to start and finish what I started. And we began on the first day of the year talking about resolutions are not the solutions. We usually break them. I think Brother Jackie was the only one that ever kept one, and there wasn't many that he kept. But he's just stubborn enough to keep one so he can say he kept it. And I'm kidding. But this is something different. And sadly, if we were honest tonight, and we should be, if we want help, we got to be honest about where we are and what we are. And a lot like our resolutions, our New Year's resolutions, our diets, and our getting fit and getting healthy and blah, 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 blah. Our Christian life is a lot the same, how we start something and we say, I'm going to start feeling the praying more. I'm going to start soul winning, or I'm going to start studying my Bible and reading my Bible every day. Our house is going to be different. We're going to start going to church and be faithful at it. We're going to throw this music out that ain't worth listening to. We're going to quit arguing at our house. Man, all God's people said amen. And every wife just gouged her husband. My point is, we start a lot of stuff. We just ain't good at finishing. And the Christian life is too important to just take a lackadaisical approach and say, well, if it makes it, it makes it. If my prayer life survives, it survives. If my Bible reading makes it a week or two, good. If it don't, I'll just slide back into being who I was, how I was, and where I was. David is saying that's the wrong mindset. That's the wrong mentality. He said, by the grace of God, teach me. And we need to be taught. That's what we're doing tonight. We're taking God's word, we're opening it, and we're reading it together, and we are teaching and preaching from God's word. This is not my opinion. This is what God put and chose to put in his word so that we could read and learn, and as David did, be taught by the Lord, not just to start things, but how to finish and finish well. He said, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it. Not for a week or two, not for a month or two, but I shall keep it unto the end. Is there anything in your life that you have failed at up till now that you want to be better at? I'm not talking about a diet or health plan. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Is there anything that you've tried and tried and made promises to the Lord and to date you hadn't got where you want to be, and you couldn't say like David, I've kept it to the end? There's a lot of things that I could testify to that I fall right in that category with me. And so I'm a candidate to learn and be taught by the Lord from a man by the name of David who penned it, how I shall keep it unto the end and get understanding and shall keep thy law and shall observe it with my whole heart. Boy, that's part of it. A lot of our Christian life we do so half-hearted. And if you're going to get to the end of anything, it's going to take your whole heart. Half-hearted don't get you anything or anywhere in life. As the old timers used to say, and boy, wasn't they wise, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm not a middle of the road kind of person. I've never been. I've always been all in or not in at all. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And if I ain't, then I just ain't going to attempt it. But if I do, I'll go, even eating, Brother Ned, I will go on spells of eating. Right now it's Frosted Flakes and sugar, mini wheats mixed together with whole milk, praise the Lord. Got off that 2% stuff. And I'll go through a gallon every 2 days and two boxes. It's expensive. I got to cut back. But when I start doing it, I can't quit. And I went through a time where I was drinking a gallon of milk, chocolate milk, a day. If I'm in, I'm in. And in the Christian life, listen, we got to make up our mind. I'm going to do this not half-hearted. I'm not going to be a part-time Christian. He didn't save me to be part-time. He expects more of us and deserves more from us than to be part-time, half-hearted people who have made up their mind, by the grace of God, I'm going to make it all the way to the end. I'm not going to become a castaway. I'm not going to be a statistic. My children, by the grace of God, they could all lose their mind and go and rebel tomorrow. But I've spent my life trying to invest in them, probably pray more for them than I do anybody, that God protect my children, help me to raise my children in a way that I have failed miserably, but I've always trained them that God's first, God's house is first, God's word is first, God's ways are first. And by the grace of God, to this point, they're still on track. They could fall off tomorrow. They could. But don't you want your children to make it to the end? I don't want to get to heaven and my youngins not be there. What a waste I would have had in my life if I spent my time and my energy and efforts preaching to all of you and all of your children and lose my own. God forbid. No, I've put my whole heart into it that my children are going to heaven with me. And that I don't want them to live in hell on earth. I want them to have the best life, and that means I have trained them and taught them and been faithful in front of them to let them know God is first. He's first. I have failed miserably. I said that. Lord knows I have could have been done way better. But I'll tell you, my marriage, it's only by the grace of God, is still intact. But that's something by the grace of God I want to see to the end. I don't want it to come short. I don't want you to hear one day through the grapevine that me and Jenny has split and filed for divorcement. God forbid. I want my marriage to make it till the end. I want my ministry to make it to the end. I want my testimony, by the grace of God, it has been put in the mud before. And I know what it's like to be put on the very bottom. And God's restored me, and by the grace of God, I don't want to become a shipwreck or a casualty. I want to keep my testimony to the end. Amen. I want my faith to be to the end. I want my faithfulness to be to the end. And so should every one of us. And David reiterated that over and over. He said, I shall keep it until the end. So we looked at number one, if you can remember back to the first day we dealt with this, David's reliance. He relied upon the Lord. And I'm not going to preach these, but I'm just going to hit the sub points to try to jog our memory. His reliance wasn't in himself. If you're going to make it to the end, it ain't going to be because you relied on me, because I'm going to let you down. If you're going to make it to the end, it ain't going to be because you relied on your husband or your wife, because they're going to let you down. David's reliance was in the Lord. And he submitted to the Lord. He said, teach me. In other words, I don't have it all. I don't know it all. And I don't care how long you've been a member of this church, Preacher Kerrigan was one of the greatest preachers God ever put on this planet. And many of you sat under him for decades. But guess what? You still don't know it all. You still don't have it all. You still need more. Amen. Amen, that's right. And you ain't going to get more until you admit that. I need it. And he said, I'll submit to that. Teach me. There's things I don't know. There's ways that you have for me that I don't know, and I need to. So I submit. Not only did he submit, but the source. He said, submit to what? He said, teach me, O Lord. His source was the Lord. Then he said, his standard, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. That was his standard. You want to know what the standard is? If we're going to be taught, it ain't going to be what you think or what I think. It ain't going to be my opinion or your opinion. If we want to be taught by the Lord, we got to submit. He's got to be the source, not the preacher, not the popular man on TV, not your favorite preacher or evangelist, to the Lord. He's the source. And the statute and the standard is His Word. This is the common ground that we all have to bow to and say, if it says it in here, I'm for it. If it don't, I'm against it. And that way your feelings and mine get pushed out of the way, and it ain't about emotionalism and all the frills and thrills of the Christian life, but it's rooted and grounded in truth. And this is the statute, and this is the standard that the source, God, oh Lord, that we ought to submit to. And that's how David relied on the Lord. Then number two, his resolve. And if we're going to make it to the end, it's going to take relying on the Lord, absolutely. But then there's got to be some resolve. David had resolve. David wasn't looking for something to help him through a rough patch. And boy, that's popular. I bet you these people in this building tonight, I bet you there's a majority of us, and I put me in the category, that has prayed a prayer something along these lines. Lord, if you'll get me out of this. Lord, I've made such a mess, there's no way possible I can fix it. And if you'll get me out of this, if you'll get me through this, I'll live for you. You ever made a deal with the Lord? I have. And you know what I found? He was faithful to get me through it. And me get on the other side and the storm clouds ease off and the sun begin to shine and get through that rough patch only for me to forget my vow to the Lord and my promise to the Lord and my plea and my bargain with the Lord. If you will, I will. And he did and I didn't. I'm saying we must rely on the Lord. Absolutely. But there's got to come some maturity in our lives where we get resolved. And I mean get a grit down in our soul and say, by the grace of God, I'm not talking about being prideful and arrogant. I mean resolved in our soul and in our spirit and say, I'm going to make it no matter what the devil throws at me, no matter what. Hey, listen, my family's going to make it no matter how crazy she acts, no matter how crazy I act. Our families stand together. No matter how crazy the church gets, we're staying with our church. We're staying with the people of God. We're staying with the Word of God. We're staying because we're resolved. And we ain't quitting when hard times come. People today, they will jump on and jump off just as fast as they jumped on. Fair weather. Listen, I have people say, well, how come you don't spend as much time with me? And how come you're as close to me as you are this one or that one? You don't know the truth? It takes time. I've been around people too long, Brother Neil. People will hurt you. And I got to learn to trust you before I let you in. I'm being honest. Before I open my heart up to you wide open and let you become one of my best friends, and certainly before I ever tell you things, and share my heart with you. And hey, listen to me. I've had too many that come along, just Johnny come lately, and when in my immaturity and youngness, I would give in and give all and pour in and pour out, and just for 2 or 3 months go by, and that be the person, that be the very thing they hold over my head and try to kill me with. Now, we need some people to resolve and say, by the grace of God, I'm not quitting when it gets hard. I ain't even quitting when it gets messy. Because the truth is, if you're going to stay married, you're going to have to go through messes. If you're going to raise children, hello, you're going to have to go through some messes. I changed my share, praise the Lord. And I'm talking about the dirties, number two. Four of them. I went through, asked her, is she in here? Did I clean up the puke? She'll tell you, I did. I wasn't, hey, listen, I'm saying, I was in it, messy or not. I'm sincere about that. Because life is going to, what am I going to do, disown my children? Throw it on my wife, say, no, you handle it. That's a number two. What kind of sissy are you, man? Come on, we'll throw our hands in grease and grime and oil and we're scared to touch our baby's tail? Come on. But you'd be amazed how many men wouldn't dare think of changing a diaper. And praise the Lord, I'm done with it. I have put my years in. But I'm saying I wasn't gonna disown my children because it got messy. I wasn't going to love them less. I wasn't going to tell them, go to the neighbor's house and fend for yourself. No, you know what I was going to do? I was going to say, you are mine. I'm your daddy. This is your family. And if it's messy, it's messy. And I ain't just talking about with their tails. I'm talking about with emotions and with growing up and rebellious spirits. My children, Macy, she ain't here, but that child, she'd be enough to tempt the Lord. I mean, honestly, her, it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. She's just like me, and boy, we would collide and have hours. And I mean, literally, I'd whoop her till I'd wear out. I'd tag Jenny in, she'd whoop her, she wore out. And then we'd argue, and we'd fuss, and I'd say, Macy, if you say one more word, if you just shut your mouth, you'd stop being in trouble. And Ellie would learn. She'd shut up. But I'm simply saying, family, gets messy. And I ain't about to bail out on my family because it got hard.
Amen.
And it got messy. No. I'm in it till the end. Till they put my body in the ground, that's my wife. Till they put my body in a casket, my four children are my four children, and I would fight for them and die for them because I'm in it to the end with them and for them.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, that's how I feel about the church.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's how I feel about the Lord. And we must be resolved. I ain't going to let any mess, I ain't going to let any kind of person who falls out or I'm not going to let messes or awful scandals or let downs. I've been let down, I promise, as much as you've ever been let down, I've been let down. But Brother Wayne, it didn't change my heart toward God. My resolve ain't in man. Listen, it used to be. Growing up, I mean, listen, as a young preacher, I had my eyes on preachers, great men of God. I could call their names and you would all know them. And I thought they hung the moon and I thought they was right under God. And they were great men of God, but the greatest of men are men at best. You hear me? The closer I got to them and spent time with them, and I mean, got close to them, I seen that they wasn't God. They would let me down. They would say things I never would have thought would come out their mouth. They would act in ways I never dreamed they would act. That. In other words, they were men. And I had my heart crushed, and I had my dreams crushed, and I had all the things I had built up crushed, and I realized I cannot put my confidence in man. My confidence is in the Lord, and my resolve is in the Lord, because He's the only one who will never, ever, ever let you down. And if you're going to make it to the end, you better learn that lesson. Amen. David said, I'm resolved. David was clear in his resolve. He was making a commitment for the rest of his life. Boy, don't our children need to hear that? You don't hear this much no more, and I'll tell you why, and I'm going to be brutally honest. I can tell you what you want, or do you want me to sugarcoat it and lie to you? Of course not. I'm going to be honest with you. But I am a little bit timid to even mention this because in any church in 2023, which is hard to even say, if you deal with the subject of divorce, probably 50% of your congregation are divorced. It's just a reality. They're not second class, they ain't second rate, not at all. And whoever ever preaches or makes anybody feel that way is pathetic and don't know the Word of God. That is not at all. However, in fear of hurting somebody because they have been divorced, you never even hear it in churches no more. And I've personally been guilty of not even going to the subject or naming the subject, but hear me. And I could put the microphone in any divorced couple's lips, and you'd be the first to say, please warn my children. Please tell my children. I don't want my children to have to ever go through what I did. Is that not the truth? Because this is the truth. God designed one man for one woman. Period. However, God knew how goofy and crazy man was. And so he did give them a bill of divorcement and a way out because he knew how foolish we would be. Say amen. Is that the best? No. I don't want my children getting married and then coming back saying, Daddy, we're going to get divorced. I don't want to hear that. Do you? Honestly, be honest. I know this is touchy. But if you've been through divorce, and I lived in a home of divorce. I felt the hurt of divorce. I felt the pain of separation. I know what that's like as a child, and I hate it. I don't hate divorced people. I hate the act of divorce and the separation and the pain that comes with it. Are you listening? You know. And my point in saying all of that is I never deal with it and I felt like I needed to. It needs to be said to our children. Find a place to get on your knees before God and pray long and hard before you ever give a boy your heart. Because if they ain't worth marrying, they ain't worth dating. Because I do not want my children having their life wrecked and ruined and mangled and marred with all that can come from it. And if you have been married to the same person your whole life, you ought to say amen to that. And if you've been divorced 10 times, you ought to say amen to that. Because that's the truth. I want my children to know when they're seeking a mate, they need to be resolved. This is a lifelong commitment. This ain't I'm going to date and jump around. No, this is a lifelong commitment. Amen. And being a Christian is the same. Psalm 119:111, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Psalm 119:33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Psalm 119:44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Psalm 119:112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. David was in it for the long haul. And he was convinced that God was right. He would pursue God and God's statutes to them. David's reliance, David's resolve, finally David's request. This is so good right here. I've never seen it before. And I hope I didn't lose y'all. My goodness, I feel the resistance just from touching that subject. I wasn't trying to offend anybody. At all. I'm trying to help us and help our children and walk the tightrope of realizing that's touched so many of us in the room. But David's request, I love how David was so dogmatic about keeping the way of God's statutes. He said without hesitation, I shall. Not I might, maybe. No, I shall keep it. Verse 33. Verse 34, I shall keep thy law. Verse 35, I shall observe it with my whole heart. But notice what else he said. Without hesitation, it's so important. It's one thing to say, and that's what I want us to all leave with tonight. We can leave here saying, I shall keep it to the end. I shall. But look what he connected to that without hesitation, that resolve in his heart, saying, I shall. Look at almost every time. He said, but I can't do it myself. He said, I need the Lord. If I shall, he's got to help me. He said in verse 33, teach me and I shall. Give me understanding and I shall. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Incline my heart to thy testimony. He said, I shall, but I need understanding. I shall, but I need help. I shall, but I need teaching. I shall, but I need instruction. I shall, but I need you to make me go in the way. He said, make me go in the path of thy commandments. He said, establish thy word unto thy servant. Turn away my reproach, verse 39. Verse 40, quicken me in thy righteousness. You know what that word quickens? To bring to life, to breathe life. We want to be righteous, but we can say, I shall be righteous tomorrow. Okay, you go for that, big boy. Call me for lunchtime. Call me for breakfast and let's see how that worked out. No, you know how we're going to be righteous? For him to quicken that righteous spirit in us. Because you know who's in you? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we shall, and we can, by the grace of God, make it to the end but it ain't going to come apart from the help of God. I don't care how dogmatic you are. I don't care how, Jackie, and you tell him I said it, because I ain't bothering him right now. He's as dedicated and stern and stubborn, and if you tell him he can't do something, he will. Or if he tells himself he can't do something, he will. Just to prove that he could. And he, but he can't. I don't care how militant you can be at anything. You can't live the Christian life and make it to the end a success apart from the help of God. I mean, apart from Him teaching you, instructing you, helping you, quickening you, on days when you are down, lifting you, on days when you are up too high, bringing you down, on days when you're zigging this way, He keeps you in back. I'm telling you, every step of the way, you make up your mind, you rely upon Him, you be resolved in your heart, but you know you got to have the Lord to help you. Because by the time we get to thinking we can do it, that's usually when we fail. But before we start, we'll come down and say, Lord, I promise you, from here on out, you ever done that? I'm rededicating my life. Ain't these some funny phrases we've made up? I'm rededicating my life. How many times have we rededicated? How long did your rededication last? No, it's a daily dying. You know why Paul said that? I die daily. It's a daily mortifying my members. It's a daily reckoning myself to be dead. Why? Because God knew we couldn't do it but one day at a time. Don't try to live the Christian life until the end all at one time, because you ain't going to do it. It'll overwhelm you. This will help you. Help me, and we're done. I used to try to take big gulps, and then I'd choke on it. One of my youngins, I can't remember which one, they'd try to eat so fast, they'd choke on it, spit up. That's how we do as Christians. Boy, we try to just take it all and get it all, and then we'd choke on it, and we don't want no more of it. We get sick of it. Learn to live your life one decision at a time. One step at a time. Say, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. I'm in such a mess financially, marriage. I don't know how I'm going to conquer this. I'm in such a mess. All you can do is all you can do. And that's put one foot in front of the other. Pray, say, Lord, here I am. What next? This way. Okay, here I am, Lord. You say, but that's slow. And that's, it wouldn't hurt us all to slow down a lot. We'd probably quit tripping over ourselves and making so many unnecessary mistakes if we learn to slow down and say, Lord, I'm relying on you. I'm resolved in my heart to make it to them, but I'm relying on you, and I need your help to do it. Amen. That's how David did it. From verse 30, after making this statement of resolve and determination, David reiterated over and over how bad he needed God to help him and live right and do right. From verse 33 through 40, he emphasized how bad he needed God's help, God's leadership, and God's involvement in his life. We need to learn what it means to rely upon God now more than ever before. We need a church full of people who's resolved to follow the Lord until the end. We need some mamas and daddies who are resolved. We need some mamas and daddies who our children can look and say, Daddy relies upon the Lord. Not just at church, not just when it sounds good, not just when the bills are paid, but when it's hard, that's when Daddy runs to the Lord. When it's messy, that's when I see my daddy or my mama's character. And they rely upon the Lord, and they resolved. They ain't just going to quit every time it gets hard. Amen. That's what our kids need. And we need to be reminded that our promises and our pledges, our resolutions and our resolve are worthless without the help of God. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word. Lord, help us just take practical, simple, but so sound of truth, Lord, and apply it to our lives. And God, help us to commit ourselves to you, Lord, not just for a little while, but, Lord, forever. Lord, we're yours, God. We're not our own, but we've been bought with a price, Lord. And what a price you paid for us. And I pray that you'd help us, God, to receive your word tonight with thanksgiving. Lord, I bless your name, God, for speaking to my own heart through the preaching tonight. Lord, I needed it personally, and I thank you for it. Lord, I pray you'd speak to your people. Help this church, God. Help us, Lord, as we go forward. I pray you'd help us as we wake up in the morning, God, to give our day to you, give our mornings and our afternoons, God, and our evenings to you. Lord, may our families see changes in our lives, God. May our families be more faithful and strong, get stronger, God, as the days go by. And God, that in and of itself will strengthen our church, God, and give us the strength we need, God, to touch this community, God, for the glory of God. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. You're at liberty. Shake hands.